Good afternoon. The other day I got out of the shower and I was drying my hair off. I was ruffling it, and when I took the towel off, I looked in the mirror and my hair was just this big mass of tangles that just looked like a rat's nest. And I looked at that and I got a little frustrated because I just feel like I cut my hair like maybe even last week. Like I just cut it and it's already as long as it is. And in that moment, without thinking about it, I thought in my mind, man, I just wish my hair would stop growing. And then as soon as that thought came out of my mouth, I immediately wanted to take it back. Because, you know, there may come a day in the future where my hair may not grow. It may be going the other way. Which made me think of this. Sometimes we don't realize what we have until it's gone. There are things that are really important to us. Maybe we don't even realize how important, in fact, we don't realize how important they are to us, and we just take them for granted. And then there comes a day where they're just not there anymore. And it's in those days that we really realize how important that thing was to us, and how much we'd miss that. Thinking about this, I thought about Samson. So if you turn over to Judges chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 15 in just a second, but just to give us a kind of a background of where we are, Samson has fallen in love with a woman named Delilah. And there are some the lords of the Philistines who are looking to find Samson, or looking to subdue Samson somehow. Samson is a very exceptionally strong individual who has at this point burned down all of the Philistine crops. He has killed 1,000 of them using the jawbone of a donkey. Obviously, they're pretty mad at him, so they're looking for a way to trap him. Samson has fallen in love with a woman named Delilah, so they realize that this is his weak point, and they approach Delilah and offer her a lot of silver in order for her to find out what Samson's weakness is, so that they can subdue him. And that brings us to verse 15. Well, he goes through a couple of instances where three instances where she has tried to find out what it is that is his strength, and he has lied to her for three times at this point. He has said, first of all, that 7 fresh cords, ones that have not been dried, those are my weakness, and he breaks out of those. He says, new ropes that have not been used, those are my weakness, and he breaks out of those. Then he says, if you wrap up my hair, the 7 locks of my hair, into fabric and pin it, that's my weakness. And she does that. Doesn't work. And so finally we get to verse 15. And then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart. And he said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. So first, let's take a look at what it is that Samson took for granted. What is it that Samson had that the Philistines wanted to take away from him? Strength. But where did his strength lie? Was it really in his hair? Was it because there was some sort of strength actually in his hair, that if it was cut off, that it would take his strength away from him. Well, sort of. Like he points out, he is a Nazarite, which means dedicated. He's dedicated to God, has been from birth. And part of the sign of the Nazarite was that you do not cut your hair. You cannot cut your hair. That is the sign that I am, or one of the signs that I am dedicated to God. So, if he has his hair cut, it removes that symbol of dedication that he has to God. And that's where we see where his true strength lies. Was Samson an exceptionally strong individual just because of his hair? No, he was strong because of God. God gave him his strength. And that hair that he had grown out was just a symbol of his dedication to God. He had a presence with God. And God was his strength. It is the most valuable things, the things that we rely on so much in our life that we take for granted. I was thinking, you know, the food on our table, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink. How often do we think about these things? There are some that have not had these things in their life, and they tend to be and think about them more often than maybe I do, but I've never gone a time in my life without these things. But I can imagine the day that they were gone, I would really realize how important they are. There is nothing more important than a presence of God. A presence of God in our life. And sometimes we take these things for granted just because they're always there. Samson's strength had always been there up until this point, it seems like. I mean, even in the days that he messed up. You remember back when he slept with a prostitute, and one of the Philistine prostitutes? Do you remember all the times that he messed up? And his strength was still there, because God had not completely left him yet. But Samson, you can kind of tell how... He didn't really have much of a value on the strength that God had given him, or the presence of God, because up until this point with Delilah, he kept toying around the subject. He kept allowing her closer and closer, to the point where he's allowing her to even, you know, get near his head, the symbol of dedication to God. It's kind of like, you know, if you were twirling your keys around the Grand Canyon, you must not value your keys very much if you keep doing it, because eventually they're going to pop off. So I look at this situation with Samson, and he's just kind of twirling his keys. He seems to not have valued God's presence, the strength that God gave him, very much, because he just kept playing with it until the point we see that his value of God was so low that he traded him away. Really, this symbol of dedication he gave away. You know, just to fulfill his need at the moment, which was Delilah was annoying him, and he was wanting to get her to stop. But for this thing, Samson was willing to trade God away. And in the end of all of this, he, in his own words, became like every other man, weak. I can take God for granted as well in my life. In fact, I do. We who have put on Christ, we may not bear an outward sign of dedication. I may not have, even though I feel like I do sometimes, I may not have the long hair to show that. I may not have the outward symbol, but we do have the inward symbol. We do have the true circumcision through baptism. We are, in a very similar way, we are a Nazarite. We are dedicated to God. We have consecrated ourselves to God. And, you know, as people that are dedicated and consecrated to God, in a very similar fashion, like Samson, maybe not in a physical manner, but God is our strength. When we are faced with temptations, fears, whatever the case may be, the ropes or the new cords that are made up of the things that we are fearful of, or the temptation that tries to pull us down, we can just break through those because the Lord is our God. The Lord is our strength. Even if the Philistines burst into our doors and took us and tried to hold us captive, they can never truly hold us captive. Because God is our strength. It is Jehovah who is our strength. So many times I find myself twirling the keys, though, and toying with giving him away. Maybe I put myself in situation where it's just not good for me. Where I know that I may end up in some sin, or I keep sin around in my life, or I indulge in sin, or I just give passes to sin around me in my life, and I could fall into the same trap that Samson does and just assume that God is always going to be there, no matter the sin that I keep in my life, no matter what I'm doing against him in my life. I just assume he's never going to leave me. And I will say this, kind of one of the really the most amazing part of this story is he is always there. Even when Samson makes the biggest mistake of his life and he trades God away, in the end, God hears his prayer and gives him strength again. He hears and he answers. God is there for a repentant heart and always will be. But the thing is that if I'm banking on that, if I am saying God will always be there so I can do this sin, or I can keep whatever it is in my life that I shouldn't be, I am not truly valuing God. I'm like Samson before he loses his eyesight. And it's that kind of heart that ends up losing God. And in the end, that will make us like every other man, without strength, without hope, without sight, slaves to Satan. But it doesn't have to be. I don't have to keep spinning the keys. I can look at the things that are truly valuable in my life, of which God should reign at the very top. And be appreciative. Be appreciative that God is my strength. That God is always there for me. That God will never leave me. God will be there for eternity. Because it's not a case like my hair. One of these days it certainly may, as time goes by, be gone. But with God, it's not a case of realize what you have until it's... You don't realize what you have until it's gone. If we value God now, we will never have to worry about him leaving. And that's a beautiful thing. If you need any prayers of the congregation or to be baptized this afternoon, we ask you to come forward while we stand and as we sing.